the fourth chapter of the book of Jonah is where our text is found today. The fourth chapter of the book of Jonah. I'd like to read to you just the fourth and fifth verses of the chapter. It says, "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" We thought of Jonah's anger last week. That's a good question for us all to consider when the anger and wrath comes upon us. Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. I'd like you to think just at the outset of the question, what's wrong? We often ask that question in life, differing circumstances, when you see people's expressions, when we witness their feelings. We maybe don't know their circumstances, we don't know what they're passing through. We often ask the question, what's wrong? And especially at the beginning of the meeting, we want to put the emphasis on spiritual things. We want to ask what's wrong spiritually. And brethren and sisters, it's a good thing, a wise and a profitable thing for us to think of that. Today particularly, we want to consider what's wrong with Jonah. It's very sad to look at the life of this man, a prophet of God, a servant of the Lord. We want to think of what's wrong with Jonah. What's wrong with his life? What's wrong, particularly at this time that we're looking at, what's wrong with his relationship with God? You remember that Jonah has gone to Nineveh. He has preached God's word. He has delivered God's message. There's been a great work done. There has been a mighty and unparalleled time of blessing. And you would think that Jonah would be rejoicing. You would think that everything would be all right in his life and in his heart. But it's not. And how sad that is, brethren and sisters. What I want you to see, what I want you to learn here as we go a little further into chapter 4, is that there's still a lot wrong in Jonah's life. There's a lot wrong with his attitude. Maybe that's true of you today. Come to the Lord's house. Come among God's people with the wrong attitude. Remember, David prayed, "Renew a right spirit within me." Perhaps that's the prayer that you need to pray this Sabbath morning. There's a lot wrong with Jonah's attitude. There's a lot wrong with his actions too, the things that he's doing, the way that he's behaving. And what I'd like you to do, brethren and sisters, I want to ask you to compare your own life this morning. Remember, that's what we're to do in all our study of the Scriptures. The Lord wants us to set our own life alongside the thing that we're studying, considering. Compare your own life today. Compare your own walk with God. And maybe what you'll find is there's a lot wrong with your life as well. So we're thinking of the question, what's wrong, Jonah? We're going to come to the prophet and put that question to him. What's wrong, Jonah, with your life at this time? The first thing I want you to see that's wrong is his prayer. Look there at verse 3. He says, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Isn't it sad? But Jonah had a very poor prayer life. Maybe that's true of you as well. Maybe that's the major thing that's wrong in your life at this time. A very poor prayer life. Jonah sets us a very bad example in this area of his life. A very bad example right through the book as far as prayer is concerned. Do you remember at the beginning when the Lord called them to go to Nineveh? He didn't pray at all. And now when he does pray, when he's outside the city, what he prays is a very foolish prayer. Because what Jonah wanted the Lord to do for him was to take away his life. Jonah wanted to die. That was the request that he was making. Can I point out to you, he wasn't the first to make that request. even the first among the Lord's servants. Do you remember the Bible says of Elijah when he was sitting away down there in the southern part of the land of Israel under the juniper tree, he prayed the same prayer. He wished for himself that he might die. So this is the prayer that Jonah's offering. But I want you to see that he's so angry with God. He's so angry with what God is doing in Nineveh that he would rather die. He would rather his life was end. He doesn't want to see what the Lord is doing in that city. He would rather die than see God bless the Ninevites. How sad, men and women. How sad that is. You think of how cold. You think of how hard Jonah must have been. Think of it. He didn't plead. He didn't pray for the people to live. That's what you would have thought he would have done. Isn't that what every other missionary would do? When they preach the word of God, they pray for the people to live. They pray for the people to be spared, for their souls to be saved. That's what you would expect. But what Jonah prayed was for his life to end. This man is selfish. This man, Jonah, is taken up with himself. So I want you to see, this was what was wrong with his prayer, men and women. This what was wrong with his request. And I want you to think for a moment or two of the question, why are your prayers not answered? You need to consider that. That's a very important consideration. Why are your prayers not answered? Could it be that you're making the wrong request? You're offering the wrong petition? Do you remember James tells us that you can ask amiss? He's really saying there you can make the wrong prayer. You can come with the wrong request. Ask amiss. Sometimes Christians make prayers, he went on to say, so that you might consume it upon your lusts. Is that the reason why you're making the requests you are? Something that you're lusting after, longing after in your heart? We need to examine the prayers that you make. Maybe your prayers are not right. That was true of Jonah. Maybe your prayers are not scriptural. Your prayers are not pleasing to the Lord. And if that is so, men and women, it's no wonder. No wonder that those prayers are not answered. What's wrong, Jonah? His prayer was wrong. His place was wrong as well. Look at verse 5 of the chapter. It says, so Jonah went out of the city. Remember, the Lord had sent Jonah to Nineveh. The Lord had sent Jonah to this city. He sent them there to labor. He sent them there to preach. But now Jonah leaves the city. He's departed from it. He's not in the city among the people, but he's sitting outside the city, watching all that is taking place. You see, the reality is this, men and women. Jonah's still running. Remember, he ran away at the beginning? Well, he's still doing it here at the end of the book. He's still running. He's still fleeing. Running from God and running from God's will. Jonah's in the wrong place. Can I ask you, brethren and sisters, is that where you find yourself spiritually today? You're in the wrong place in your life. You're in the wrong place as far as the will of God is concerned. You know you're not in the Lord's will. You're in the wrong place with God. You're in the wrong place spiritually. You must confess that today, that you're not where God wants you to be. And you know that. You know that in your heart of hearts. Do you remember the first question in the Bible? The first question the Lord asked Adam, way back in the book of Genesis, where art thou? Can I put that to you today? Ask yourself that same question. Where are you? Where are you today? Where art thou? Where are you in your walk with God? Are you in God's will today? Do you have that peace? That you know, as far as your life is concerned, you're in the center of his will? Or do you have to admit you're out of his will? You're not doing what the Lord has asked. Mr. Spurgeon, when he was a lad, stayed with his grandfather at Stambourne. His grandfather was the pastor of the church in Stambourne for some 54 years. There was a man in that church by the name of Rhodes, Thomas Rhodes. And Thomas Rhodes, in his early years, he wasn't very consistent in his walk with the Lord. There's times that Thomas Rhodes would go and visit the public house. He would sit among the world. He would drink his pints of beer. He would smoke his pipe. And you can imagine the old pastor was grieved. His heart was broken. And young Spurgeon knew that, even though he was just a lad. He knew how this church member was breaking the heart of the pastor. Spurgeon said to his grandfather one day, "I'll go and kill old Rhodes." The grandfather was quite taken back. "Oh, no, 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 you can't do that." But he came back some time later and he announced to his grandfather, "I have killed old Rhodes." But he didn't say anything more. What happened was the old man himself came and knocked the door. And he told the pastor what had happened. When he was sitting in the public house, the young fellow stepped up to him, young Spurgeon, and he pointed his finger at old Rhodes, and he said to him, "What doest thou here, Elijah? Breaking the pastor's heart, you a church member, sitting here among the ungodly, sitting here among the world, what doest thou here, Elijah?" He said, "I never thought I could have been rebuked by a lad just like that. Oh, but it came to my arrow, or my heart, like an arrow." And he said, "I went away and I knelt down and prayed and asked the Lord to forgive me. And I've come here, Pastor, to ask that you might forgive me as well." You know that old man, before he died, he told, wasn't Spurgeon's grandfather, it was the pastor afterwards. He said, "I've counted the leaves in the book." The pastor said to him, "What did you do that for?" He says, "I can't read a word of it, but I wanted to know how many pages there was in the book of God." Don't we take so much for granted, men and women? Can I say to you this morning, if you're not right with God, if you're not walking with the Lord, if you're not in the place you know the Lord would want you to be, can I ask you, what doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing being found in such ungodly company? What are you doing wasting your days upon this earth? The Lord wants you to know that what you're doing, He didn't send you there. He didn't lead you. He didn't bring you to that place. The wrong place. Spiritually, brethren and sisters. Is that where you are this morning? You remember Jonah wasn't happy there. He wasn't happy sitting outside the city in the wrong place. He was angry. He was bitter. And you know you'll not be happy either. You're never happy when you're running away from the Lord's will for your life. What's wrong, Jonah? The wrong prayer, the wrong place. Think as well as the wrong priority. Go a little further down to verse 9 of the chapter. God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry even unto death." Do you see how his anger continued? He's now getting angry about little things. Isn't that how it happens with anger? It sort of eats you up and you just get angry about everything. He's angry about the gourd. The little plant, it probably was miraculous, grew up in the night, and it disappeared just as quickly. But I want you to think of those words. And what you see, what you learn, brethren and sisters, is that Jonah was more concerned about a plant than he was about the people of the city. He had the wrong priority. And it's sad, but that's really what it comes down to. As he was sitting there outside Nineveh, he had more concern about the plant that withered than he had about the souls, the vast number of souls in the city of Nineveh. Jonah was taken up with the physical instead of having his heart fixed upon the eternal. Can I ask, men and women, can I ask, are you the same? You say to me this morning, how could we be like Jonah in this regard? Well, think of it like this. Do you give more time to the flowers in the garden than you do to lost souls? Is that the priority in your life? Do you give more effort to the plants in the greenhouse than you do to reaching out to the lost? Just before you criticize Jonah too much, ponder over those things. Do you labor more? Have you more concern for the crops in your fields than you do for spreading the gospel? If you do, men and women, you're no different than Jonah was. And you've got your priorities wrong as well. Plants mean more than people. How sad that is. Can I exhort you this morning in the words of Paul to the Colossians? Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Our heart should be taken up with eternal things. Be taken up with souls, men and women, not with shrubs. Remember, that can be the case, especially as the summertime comes on. Remember, never lose sight of the fact there's nothing more important, there's nothing more valuable than a soul. It's to the souls of men. You remember the psalmist said, no man cared for my soul. And the tragic thing is, Jonah didn't care. Didn't care for souls. Didn't care for the souls of the Ninevites. And the question is, do you? Do you care about souls? Maybe you say this morning that you do care. But do you show that you care? Do you show that you care by the time that you give, the money, the effort that you give in reaching the lost for Christ? You know, you can't say you care if you don't make any soul winning efforts. You can't say that you care if you're not doing anything to bring others to the Savior. Remember, Jonah's a type of Christ. The very beginning, the first study, we mentioned four things that Jonah was a picture of. One of them is a picture or type of Christ, especially in his death and burial, going down in the fish's belly. The Savior said, as Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the hearts of the fish's belly, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He's a picture of Christ. And there's a picture here of the Savior. Remember, Jonah's outside the city, and he's watching, and he's on the east of the city. Verse 5 says he sat on the east of the city. Can you think for a moment, men and women, of near the end of the Savior's ministry? He was outside the city. He was outside Jerusalem. He was on the Mount of Olives. He was on the east, and he's sitting beholding the city. But you know, there's a great contrast here, because the Savior wept over a city that was unrepentant. But Jonah was angry about a city that had repented, that had returned, that had turned from his sins unto the Lord. Jonah is unlike Christ in his love for souls. Is that a sad thing, a sad reflection? And Christian, can I say to you today, you're either like him, like the Lord Jesus, or you're like them. You're like the world. And I wonder, which is it this morning? Is your life like Jonah, a contrast to Christ? Remember, you're not like the Savior if you have no love for the lost souls of men and women. What's wrong, Jonah? Jonah's wrong in his priority. There's one other thing that Jonah had wrong in his life at this time. That was his passion or his love. You notice the words there towards the middle of verse 2. He says, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? He's thinking of his own country. I want you to think for a moment, men and women, of patriotism. Patriotism is a love of your country. It's good. It's right. It's something that's taught in the Bible. The reality is that the best patriot is the Christian. But you know the problem that Jonah had, and it's a problem that many have, maybe you have it. The problem was he loved his nation more than he loved the Lord. And that's the reason why he ran away. He didn't want God to save his enemies. He couldn't face going back to the land of Israel to tell them that his preaching, it was his work, it was his message that had saved the enemies of Israel. Jonah loved his nation too much. And there's many like him. It's a great danger, men and women. Even in our own land, even still at this present time, with all the protests, the flag protests taking place around the country, we sympathise with all that has taken place. We're grieved at the steps that have been taken politically in this country of ours. Things political, things national have their place, but remember to give them the right place. You can give yourself too much to those things, men and women. You can love them too much. And we need to be careful. We need to warn against that danger. Remember, patriotism can become a sin. The love of your nation is wrong, regardless of what nation it is. If you love that nation more than you love the Lord Jesus. Remember, brethren and sisters, let us always remember, we should love nothing, we should love no one more than we love him, more than we love Christ. The Saviour said, lovest thou me more than these. You can't say that, men and women. You can't say that you do. If you have more time for national things than you have for spiritual things. Can I ask you this morning never to forget only the gospel, men and women. Only the gospel preached. Only the gospel preached in the power of the Holy Ghost will save a country. And it's only the power of the gospel that will save this province from all the troubles and problems that it faces, even at this time. I want to stress that to you. You think of Billy Wright. Many of you this morning familiar with the name of Billy Wright. You know, as a young lad, he lived up round Glenann, round that Glenann, Mount Norris area for a time. In those days he was walking with the Lord. He testified at meetings. But you know what he said, men and women? There came a day when he had to choose between the land and the Lord. Was that a fearful thing? And we all know the choice he made. Chose for the land. Wasn't that sad? Very, very, very sad. Made the wrong choice. Loved the land too much. Didn't love the Lord enough. Is it any wonder, men and women, his life ended as it did? I want to warn you. So think of Jonah and his attitude sitting outside Nineveh when God was doing a great work. Be careful, men and women. Be careful in these things. Caught up with things national so much that you miss the blessing of a mighty revival. It's not really the summing up of Jonah's life. So taken up with his own nation that he couldn't even enjoy the blessing of a mighty revival. We need to be careful in these things. Remember, the Lord should always be first. There's no other place for the Lord in our lives other than first. Seek ye first at all times, men and women, in all things. That's the principle. That's the guiding principle by which to live your life by.
He ought to have first place every time. Can I ask you, is it patriotism, my friend? Is it love of your country that's stopping you from being a missionary? Stopping you leaving this country to go to another at the call of God to do a work for Him? You have too great a love for Ulster, too great a love for the way of life in this province that you could never think of ever leaving these shores to go and live in another land to do a work for God. Is it the wrong passion? Is it the wrong love that's found in your heart today? What's wrong with Jonah? You can see there's a lot that's wrong. The wrong prayer, the wrong place, the wrong priority, and the wrong passion. Think of these things, brethren and sisters. Think of them carefully. And just ask in closing, what's wrong with you today? What's wrong with your life? What is it that's wrong with your heart? What is it that you can identify that's wrong in your relationship with the Lord this morning? The reality is that maybe we may not like to admit it too loudly, but maybe we're more like Jonah. Displaying more of the attitude of Jonah than we care to realize. May the Lord use His word today, men and women. May He speak to all of our hearts through it. 479.